Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the VA3XVR Global 360 Net. Your net controller today is Don, VA3XFT.
VA3XPR
is intended to be a forum to discuss issues relating to amateur radio from a global perspective and to promote diversity within the hobby. Hams from all corners of the globe are encouraged to check in and participate in this informative and interactive net. Our guest speaker today, coming from the Fredericton area in New Brunswick, is Al Thurber. And Al's call is VE1AKT. Al is the president for the International Repeater Group, which is located in New Brunswick. The International Repeater Group, International Repeater Group operates a repeater network of approximately 23 linked repeaters across the province of New Brunswick. And so we're going to hear all about the IRG and its relationship with the New Brunswick Emergency Measures here today. A little background on Al. So Al has been a licensed since 1961. He's a life member for the Radio Amateurs of Canada. He's active with a number of EMO committees in the Greater Fredericton area. And he's also the net controller for the Maritime Net on Saturdays. Al also is retired from the CBC, where he worked with the Fredericton Transmitter Group. So, Al, let's check to see if you're there. Do you want to come in and give us a melodious, hear your melodious voice? VE1AKT from VA3XFT, net controller for the VA3XBR Global 360 Net.
Good morning, Don, and good evening to those listening where it is evening, and good morning. Thanks, Don, for giving me the opportunity and inviting me to participate in your net this morning. Over.
Sounds good, Al. Thanks for joining us. And I know myself, I'm quite excited to hear about all the things that you guys have been doing down east, especially with the recent EMO activities surrounding the Point Lepreau nuclear generating station. So why don't we start off a little bit, and maybe you can give us some background about the International Repeater Group. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the history about it. Al, over to you.
Okay, Don, thanks for that. Little background on the IRG. The International Repeater Group was formed in 1974, and in 1974 we had three repeaters. It was called the International Repeater Group because we did have members in the state of Maine, and of course we still do have members in the state of Maine. In 1997-98, with some encouragement, the International Repeater Group expanded the IRG system to cover the whole province of New Brunswick the ultimate of 23 repeaters in the province. We do have 23 repeaters in the province. There are two repeaters that are not linked at the present time due to lack of linking facilities to those. Another repeater on Graminan Island has been silent for quite a while, and hoping to get something back in there within the next 6 months. The link system of the IRG is funded by its members in conjunction with the Department of Public Safety and mainly the Emergency Measures Organization in the province of New Brunswick. We do have with the government. Of course, we can't provide all the funding for this, so through joining emergency preparedness. I'm going to time out here. Just a second, Don. I've got my timer set up for 3 minutes, so I'll have to keep an eye on that. We do have and are continuing to do upgrading on our system. The main repeaters that we are using now are the Tate model of Tates. They're the radio shop in the province of New Brunswick is familiar with these commercial repeaters. Simplify maintenance of these repeaters. Anything from Hamtronics to MSR-2000s to old Pis, GEs, and everything are slowly being replaced. We're almost completed the upgrade. To link the repeaters in the province of New Brunswick, we use RCL4s. There are two of them here based in Fredericton. Interconnect. Unfortunately, we lose a port when we do that on each controller. And Fredericton is the hub of the IRG network. The channels to each of the linkable repeaters are provided by MUX channel on the provincial microwave system, by the way, which is undergoing upgrade to the new digital system. And just to happen in your part of the country, Don, your home country anyway, this week, so we're on the digital system down into Charlotte County. As I say, all of our repeaters are co-located on the New Brunswick radio communications towers. And because of that, the province of New Brunswick is covered basically with two meter coverage. Not everywhere in the province you can stand back and use a walkie-talkie, but in most cases you certainly can. And basically, it's just the same footprint as the VHF system in the province of New Brunswick. We share the antenna with other services on VHF. Of course, generally the antenna is on top of the tower, so we get pretty good service. Although our cans and all are at the bottom of the chain. We do
A3XPR
VHF. The UHF repeater is down at the Point Lepreau nuclear generating station on the Bay of Fundy. We'll say more about that maybe as time goes by. And some repeaters in the province, because of lack of ports on the controllers, are hard linked. Some of them are on hard linked all the time. However, in order to connect one repeater to another, we do have a 4-digit code. DTMF code, and you dial up the destination code, and there you are. We do have an arrangement, of course, because funding from the Department of Public Safety and AMO, we do have an arrangement with the Department of Public Safety, and we hope to, and we have provided backup communications for AMO Public Safety through. Throughout the year since we've been on. One of the other events that we do host on the IRG is CanWarn in New Brunswick, and I am one of the net controllers for CanWarn New Brunswick. So in establishing the complete IRG network back in 97-98, we of course had support from Environment Canada and CanWarn. Prior to that, we did operate CanWarn in New Brunswick starting in 1993 with two repeaters that we could activate. We could activate from the former Fredericton Forecast Center. However, we are continuing with CanWarn, and we report now to the Atlantic Storm Prediction Center in Dartmouth. I guess I pretty well have said all about that. We have members in the province of Quebec, Nova Scotia, state of Maine. We have had former members in PEI because the footprint of our repeaters do cover PEI. A lot of the call signs we have are Memorial call signs. Some of them are VE1 call signs. The others are VE9 call signs, of course. And we have provided in the past month backup communications for NB Power. Part of the recommissioning process for the Point Lepreau nuclear generating station. Don, I guess that's about the story on the IRG for now, and I'll turn it back to you. And by the way, I do have text box here running on the on EchoLink if anybody has any questions while I'm babbling along. VA3XFT from VE1AKT.
VE1AKT, this is VA3XFT net controller for the VA3XVR Global 360 net. Sounds good, Al. That's a really good overview of the IRG and I guess some details about the network and whatnot. I have a question. So you say there's 200 members. Is it a membership-only based system, or is it open for all amateurs to use, Al? Over.
Good question, Don. No, it's open to all amateurs. We can't just say members only because of where the funding comes from. And that works out quite good. most of the people that use the repeater can afford the $15, and that's the membership fee. Membership per year is $15. Pretty big bang for your buck. You can be sitting in, say, Edmundston at the northwest corner of the province of New Brunswick with your walkie-talkie near a repeater that's up there and talk to the other end of the province. It works that simple. One of the things I might mention that I forgot to mention, we do have a link from New Brunswick into the Nova Scotia Marcan system. It's done via VHF, or rather UHF link, from the Sackville repeater site. That's down in the southeast corner of the province of New Brunswick. So we do shake hands with Nova Scotia, all tone access. I think you may be aware of that anyway, Don. Back to you.
Thanks, LVE1AKTVA3XFT net controller. That sounds good. For those listening, I actually have I took a copy of the IRG system app, and I'll post it on the event posting on the VA3XPR website. So for reference, if anybody wants to see some of these connections that Al is referring to, you can actually see a system diagram there. So that sounds really good, Al. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about some of the activities that the IRG has undertaken with the various public safety organizations. I understand that you guys have been called into action a few times, and even with some preparedness exercises. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that, Al. Over to you.
Yep, okay, Don. And that diagram that you have and we'll post is pretty well up to date. It does show Graham and Ann on there, which is, of course, offline, as I mentioned. And by the way, we did mention members only. We try not to publicize the linking codes online, although they are available online. Let's put it that way. Sort of trying to encourage people to cough up their $15 and help us as. As EMO sees us with a large number of members, that gives them encouragement to continue supporting us throughout the years with the upgrading of the system. And exercises. Well, first of all, I might mention in conjunction with the IRG, being supported by the province of New Brunswick, EMO, etc., every Department of Health hospital in the province of New Brunswick where there is an emergency room does have amateur radio. Not all hospitals have the hardware such as a radio, but all hospitals now have at least an antenna on the hospital for emergency purposes, and we're going to be doing an exercise, a provincial-wide exercise, hoping to get every hospital in the province of New Brunswick on, if nothing else, to say hello. This week I'm finishing up an installation of an antenna and radio at the Department of Health head office here in Fredericton, and that's being terminated in one of the conference rooms next to their emergency operations center. We have a little different installation at the new Waterville Hospital in Fredericton in Woodstock. That's about 100 miles north of here, up along the St. John River. They didn't put the horse in front of the cart, so in order to overcome having an amateur radio station in the hospital someplace, we had to go with a crossband repeat radio. So the crossband repeat radio is up in the penthouse with the air conditioning units and all, about 50 feet away from the antenna. And the Woodstock Amateur Radio Club, called Carleton County Amateur Radio Club, has purchased two FT-60 portables, so anywhere in the hospital and outside the hospital in the area, they can operate quite well through the hospital. They're not tied down to any particular room, and we do have that linked to the Crab Mountain repeater, so they have access via that crossband radio to get onto the IRG system. That was one of the unique ones that happened to come along, and it shows that a crossband repeat radio does work quite well. It's very, very flexible for that particular installation. And I might mention that part and parcel of the IRG, there are five of us in Fredericton who are have clearance for EMO. I live the furthest away from EMO in Fredericton, but others are quite close by, so we have cards to get into EMO at any time of the day or night should anything occur, and we have to get into to activate our EMO radio station. We have HF and VHF packs.
A3XPR
quarters. That being said, we have just recently participated in the part of the exercise for the recommissioning of the nuclear New Brunswick Electric Power Commission nuclear generating station. And this was done in conjunction with the Department of Public Safety, EMO, and it was a one-day emergency exercise at the Point Lepreau generating station. That happened on Wednesday, the 28th of March. And this exercise was entitled Intrepid 2012. It involved a nuclear emergency scenario, and its purpose was to practice the emergency response procedures and communications at the station. And the exercise involved emergency response personnel from local communities, the provincial and federal New Brunswick Electric Power Commission, several cooperating agencies and organizations, and that included amateur radio community. And we had operators from St. John, St. Stephen, and Fredericton on deck. Our Red Cross established two reception centers at the St. John Regional Hospital, and the other was at the University of New Brunswick campus gym. We had amateurs from Moncton, Fredericton, St. John to support Red Cross as we support the Red Cross activities with the IRG. The amateur radio net was dubbed HamNet, and the control for the net was at EMO headquarters in Fredericton. I guess I was net control that day. And we utilized the IRG system for that by programming, which was done by our programming coordinator. So we had the all of the repeaters in the southern part of the province all connected hard linked for that day. We had repeaters in Sussex, two in St. John, one at Mason's Bay, the UHF repeater at Mason's Bay for Point Lepreau. We had one in St. Stephen and one near Fredericton. And to provide a connection to Nova Scotia, just so the EMO people in Nova Scotia could listen, we had the Sackville repeater hard linked at that day for that day as well. So as I say, we had NBEMO on that day. We also had RCMP J Division on that day, and of course the Point Lepreau Emergency Operations Off-Site Emergency Coordination Center, St. Stephen District Emergency Coordination Operations Center, rather, St. John Regional Hospital, and the St. John District Emergency Operations Center, and also St. John Red Cross Reception Center. Total, we had 34 hams at that day involved throughout the shift, and we did pass some formal traffic for the personnel in the ops room at NBEMO, and that was quite an experience. I won't go any further with that, but life is a learning experience. Go ahead, Don.
The UNAKT, this is VA3XFT. Don, the net controller for the VA3XPR Global 360 net. Sounds like it was quite an event, Al. I'm sure that there must have been a lot of coordination to pull such a large event together, especially with the various public safety organizations and the ham community. And just to comment on your previous comment concerning the hospitals, it sounds good that at least the various hospitals are outfit and ready to pop in emergency ham gear in the event of something pops up that it's required. So kudos to that. So just out of curiosity, with the event with the Point Lepreau nuclear generating station, did were there a lot of lessons learned from it, or was it a fairly routine event, Al? Over.
On our part, it was pretty routine, Don. We had a pre-exercise done 2 weeks before that to shake down all the problems that may exist. But with the IRG system and the special code, one code to bring up all the repeaters for that day, it was flawless. We'd like to think that's the way the system would work. It always is not flawless. We have a lot of hardware and software in the system. And the system is not perfect by any means. We do have failures once in a while, and we, of course, as amateur radio operators, the only control we have on the IRG is the controlling of the repeater. We're not allowed in the government sites because they're high security sites. The RCMP are in there as an example, which makes it high security, and we just leave the maintenance and installation and all that to the technicians at the Province of New Brunswick Telecommunications Department. Look after that for us. One of the things we did find out, I will mention formal messaging. We use a not a real special form, but a form that's been generated by the Department of Public Safety and EMO for message handling. Most of the participants of the players in the op center at Fredericton had never seen one of these things before, and it was quite a learning experience. We were getting little notes, messages on little pieces of paper, and it was most difficult, and certainly would not work in a real exercise. A lot of these people have taken EMO courses, both the basic course and the Emergency Operations Center course, but quite obviously they had forgotten about messaging, and something I think that's going to be addressed further down the road. I know we were pretty frustrated in our headquarters station at EMO when we would get things like pieces of paper and trying to fill in the blanks. So that's one of the things. As slow as it may be, if cell phones went out and regular phone lines went down, it's pretty slow. But we could eventually get some information through. I might mention Repoint LePro. As of April the 10th, there have been 4,560 new fuel bundles installed in the generating station, and they are complete. Fourth of March, and the fuel load team completed its work following the detailed fuel accounting process in accordance with the International Atomic Energy Agency and the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, that's the CNSC. And the new fuel was loaded manually in a safe and quality manner, so NB Power says. And the fuel load team handled the new fuel very carefully, completed the required inspections, and ensured the proper placement of each fuel bundle according to their plan. And NB Power is continuing with the remaining commissioning and return to service activities. Next activity is to test the primary heat transport system to confirm with the tightness and integrity of the components. And then the next step will be to fill the primary heat transport system with heavy water. So we're standing by for the new generation from NB Power, and until the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission authorizes the restart of the reactor, the plant remains in safe shutdown state while they complete the commissioning and testing activities. I hope to have the station back up, by the way, in the fall of 2012. This was a major exercise for us. As I say, we had 34 hams in all locations on the southern part of the province, and it was very worthwhile for us as amateur radio operators to participate, and we did certainly get recognized by the director of EMO and also by the Minister of Public Safety for our involvement in the activity as providing backup communications and also providing another route for message handling. Back to you, Don, VA3XFT from V1AKT.
V1AKT, this is VA3XFT, Don, the net controller for the VR Global 360Net. That's a very good overview of your exercise, Al, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. As I've always said, if there's not some kind of technical glitch, it's not amateur radio. But it sounds like there's most of the things were fairly minor, and I guess with some practice, a lot of it could be worked out. These process things do pop up occasionally. With regard to Point LePro, I hope all the best with the recommissioning, and after this refit, let's hope it has 30 years of good performance. It'll purr like a kitten, and that's kind of what we want to see. I guess that's what it's all about, so good stuff on that. Just out of curiosity, Al, in terms of other activities that the IRG has undertaken, I understand, and being a native of New Brunswick myself, that sometimes floods are a problem. Is this something that the IRG is quite active with in terms of providing emergency communication?
Well, Don, we do have the infrastructure for that generally along the St. John River. It's the local clubs that provide the communications. As you alluded to, I am a member of EMO committees around the Fredericton area, Oromocto, New Maryland, Fredericton. And in the flood of 2008, we did have amateur radio at the Emergency Operations Center in Oromocto. We did use not the complete IRG system, but IRG repeaters in the area for communications because of the footprint that it does give us along the basin of the St. John River. A month ago with the flood, the very bad flood in Perth Andover, 150 miles or so north of us, amateur radio didn't get involved. The infrastructure, telephone lines, cell phones, all held together, although we did have a member in Perth Andover, a member of the Red Cross, and he did check in occasionally on and via the International Repeater Group system. Now, down in your home territory, December of 2010, amateur radio didn't get involved. Things seemed to hold together quite well down there with their cell phones, but as you are aware, Don, their communications weren't very good for commercial services down there, so that problem is being solved, as you are aware, and I am aware of the new tower at St. George. So heavy rainfall warning is out rainfall warning issued for the southern part of the province. So everybody's keeping an eye on the Mackadavy Canal, a little ahead of the game this weekend, just in case. So there's maybe something going on with an EOC operation in St. Stephen. Nothing's come out about level 2 at the present time, but keeping an eye on things. I guess that's it, Don. I might mention that the pre-exercise for EMO, we have two 20-year-old all-mode VHF radios down there. They've worked flawlessly for us, and any time we've checked them, any time we've used them. And the day of the pre-exercise, the main radio we used down there, I won't give the brand name, as being ICOM, all of a sudden it decided to pack up, so we had to go back to another 20-year-old radio. But that's one of the things that we've learned out of the event, is that we have to upgrade our radio system. We're putting a very basic 2-meter FM radio in at EMO. We expect to get that within a couple of weeks, and that will be our main radio. But it was strange that something would happen about 2 minutes after I fired up the 20-year-old radio. As I say, it's worked flawlessly. Prior to that, it was tested almost weekly, and it decided to pack up. But anyway, we had other backup radios, and now with a new radio, basic radio, getting in there, we'll be all set. Don't need anything too fancy. Touch-tone microphone and VHF, and we're away. VA3XFT from VE1AKT.
Over. 1AKT from VA3XFT. Don, then the controller for the VA3XVR Global 360Net. Al, thank you very much for the update in terms of flooding activity and additional activities that the IRG undertakes. And again, as I say, these things pop up, and it would take a great deal of testing and preparedness to always anticipate all these little glitches that sometimes come up, but you guys have done a great job. So with that, I think we've got a pretty good overview of what the IRG has been doing down east, and how the network operates and whatnot. So I think we'll open it up to the net for some general questions. If anybody listening has questions that they would like to pose to Al, please come forward with your call sign, and we'll come back to you with your question. Please come forward with your call sign for your questions now. This is on VA3XFT in the controller. Again, we're open up for questions. If there's anybody who has any questions for Al, please come forward with your call sign. The net controller is Don, VA3XFT. I think we're having a quiet morning here, Al. We have there's a ham fest in Pickering, and I think a lot of people have made the exodus outside the city to go to the ham fest, which tends to be the course du jour on ham fest days here. But I'll open it up one more time for any questions that anybody may have. This is Don, VA3XST NIC controller for the VA3XPR Global 360 NIC. I actually have one additional question, Al, if you don't mind addressing this. It sounds good that the IRG has approximately 200 members. Do members have any formal training or whatnot to provide emergency communications, or is this done separately from the membership, Al Overt?
This is done separately from the IRG, Don. It's our members scattered all over the province. I mean, we do have people. Who are members, I guess I forgot to mention, the Emergency Measures Communications Group, which is basically our ARES group in the province of New Brunswick. Some of the members of the IRG are district communications officers throughout the province, and we try to get them at least trained in the basic EMO course, and that's a four-day training course, and it gives an overview of about the emergency management organization and gives an idea of from A to Z what one could encounter in an EMO event. As I say, some of us in Fredericton have been very fortunate. In fact, there's two or three of us have been in it so long we've even had the refresher course in the EOC course. Oh. I guess it's time sometime to turn the flame over to the younger people, but a lot of the younger people are working for a living. It's very carry the torch as long as we can anyway. But it's an ongoing process, and the EMO courses don't come cheap, so you have to be sponsored by an organization to have these training courses. And we are getting more and more people trained as time goes by, but the local clubs are trying to do again is nothing else about network procedure, message handling, but it's until you actually have to use it, you don't realize how complicated a very simple form can get, as it happened in this exercise in Intrepid 2012. But it was a good learning exercise for everybody. So I've gone around the circle and answered your question, I hope, Don. One thing I might mention about the tones while I've got the hammer down here. When one becomes a member of the IRG, you do get a membership card with the tones on it. We try not to broadcast the codes on the air. We've had, especially the off code, we've had problems over the few years of someone getting a hold of the off code, and especially on Sunday nights would shut down the IRG system. And we spent extensive time doing some transmitter hunting, and we believe it was an unlicensed amateur that had got these codes but had the radio equipment to shut the system down. And we pretty well had the perpetrator found, but small communities word travels around that we were on the lookout. And Industry Canada and the RCMP were about to pounce, but we didn't have to go that far. Everything came to an end. We'd like to think maybe the perpetrator may be enjoying his meals behind bars without an intervention by Industry Canada. But it was a pretty touch and go situation, and it was a lot of miles put on because the location was about an hour and a half to 2 hours drive away from the Fredericton area, and we mounted some terrific exercises in that particular area. That's the problem of having so many repeaters on all at the same time. You just can't say, oh, the guys on this repeater. But we did get it narrowed down to one repeater or two repeaters before the perpetrator got taken away or gave up. Back to you, Don.
SPR.
VA3XFT. Don, the net controller for the VA3XPR Global 360 net. Thank you, Al, for providing that additional detail. I do have another question, actually, concerning other jurisdictions. You had mentioned that the IRG network is linked to I think it was the MARCAN network in Nova Scotia. And I'm curious, going the other direction in terms of the state of Maine. Has the IRG or is there any participation with other agencies or groups within both the province of Nova Scotia, state of Maine, and the province of PEI, Al Over?
Good, Don. I'm glad you brought that up. There isn't any connection per se to PEI. However, PEI is tacked on to the MARCAN system in Nova Scotia. And the last Tuesday of every month, there is an exercise in the Maritimes called Exercise Handshake. And we are capable of linking to Nova Scotia at that time and have taken part in Exercise Handshake, either as a complete IRG network or as individual users of repeaters along, you know, whoever may want to participate. State of Maine is a different story. We did have, back in 1974 until about 1995, an international repeater group in the state of Maine. This was prior to 9/11, of course, but there were problems getting over there to service the repeater. You dare to take a toolbox across the state of Maine at the border and they wonder what you're doing with it. So the KQ1L repeater network over in the state of Maine has taken over that repeater, and we still maintain the name of the International Repeater Group because we do have members all along the border from Edmonton Way all the way down into Calais and in and around those parts. We have IRG members who are Canadians in Campobello even, so they provide a good resource for us. But there is no direct connection from the IRG to the state of Maine. We've made several overtures, but it seems to be a big steel door when we want to talk to them down there. However, our repeaters all along the border do cover into the state of Maine all the way along the New Brunswick state of Maine border, so there is some coverage there. And I know Sterling and I attended a Homeland Security meeting here about a year ago in Calais, Maine, and we made them aware of the amateur radio activity and availability of amateur radio repeaters along the New Brunswick border, which some of the people along the border who were there, the state police, border patrol, and all were not aware of anything. Fire departments and all that were not aware of what coverage we have along the border. So it was a very worthwhile meeting to go to with the Homeland Security people, and we waved their flag again, VA3XFT from V1AKT.
Sounds good, Al. V1AKT from VA3XFT net controller. Coming from that area, I had known that the K1HAC repeater in Topsfield was a member of the IRG, and so I appreciate the update on that in terms of the evolution of the group. So that's been a great overview, Al, and I'll open it up to one last time for if anybody has questions that they want to pose concerning the International Repeater Group or its operations. If you have questions for Al, please come now with your call sign. This is Don, VA3XFT net controller. Well, Al, I guess we got silence, so I guess we've pretty much addressed all the questions anybody may have had concerning the topic, which I think we've gone into a lot of detail, and I very much appreciate you coming on your Saturday morning and giving us an update concerning your organization and its various activities. So thank you very much, Al. It's been a pleasure having you on the net, and I hope one time that we'll be able to hear more about the various activities that the IRG has undertaken, hopefully on a time when we will have greater participation, as I say, when there's local ham fest, everybody heads for those, and so it's sometimes a challenge getting additional questions out of people. But Al, we very much appreciate you coming on and giving us this talk about the IRG. I'll turn it over to you if you have any final comments for the net. If you want to pop in, please do so. VU1AKT, this is VA3XFT.
Good, Don, and thanks for the 235 seconds warning. I was trying to keep an eye on, as I say, I time out in 3 minutes here on this end. No, I guess that's all, and wish I were up there to go to the Hamfest. We don't have anything down this way like that anymore, as they no Hamfest. They call them flea markets, social gatherings is all they are. nothing in the works for any local Hamfest. Not like they used to be, and certainly appreciate the offer here, John. Don, to be on, and I wonder when you have a trip planned for New Brunswick. In the next little while, maybe we should have an eyeball sometime. So thanks for the opportunity here today, and we'll say good morning to anybody. I'm sure there may be people out there listening. I hope I haven't bamboozled them and mesmerized them with what we have, but we think we have a pretty good system here in the province of New Brunswick. But we do have many partners that help us out here. Don, good morning to you. Good evening to anybody else that's listening. And we'll be in touch, Don. VA3XFT from VE1AKT.
R.
Well, VE1AKT, VA3XFT, Don, the net controller for the VA3XPR Global 360 net. Thanks again, Al, for your presentation, and we'll look forward to hearing you soon. And definitely, when I'm down that way, I'll give you a shout, and we'll catch up some. So with that, I actually have an announcement to make. It's concerning there's a new net schedule for the VA3XPR Global 360 net. So we've been running it every Saturday morning from 10 Eastern to 11, and I guess that works out to 1400 UTC. We're actually going to change the net day. It's now going to be moved to Wednesday evenings, weekly, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesdays. So new day, new time. And in terms of guest speakers, we're going to have a guest speaker once a month, and that will be on the second Wednesday of the month. So so mark that into your calendars, anybody who's listening, that the VA3XPR Global 360 Net is moving to Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. weekly. And a guest speaker presentation on the second Wednesday of every month will appear. The net will still continue to be held on the IRLP 9558 and Echolink VK3JED connections, so you can still continue to check in through those methods. With that, we'll close the net off here, and I would like to thank Al again for his time. And I'll also like to thank Tony, VK3JED, for the generous use of his IRLP and Echolink reflector, plus all the other IRLP and Echolink node owners around the globe who have made this net possible. For more information about today's specific net, please check out the V3XPR Global 360 net page on the VA3XPR website at www.va3xpr.net. With that, I'll turn the repeater system back over for general use. Thank you all, and everybody have a great weekend. This is the Net Controller, Don, VA3XFT, turning the repeater system back over to general use. Thank you.